And welcome, everybody, to the week two edition of the TSL podcast. We're back. We still don't really have an intro, so if you're listening to this and you want to create one, Joe Miano, do it, and that'll be spectacular because then I'll use it. If not, I have to piece together something, and I'm not really sure how that's going to turn out. Well, needless to say, week two had its shares of ups and downs, and granted, we're recording on a Thursday, sorry about that, but there was a Labor Day and all this other holiday nonsense, so with fantasy football drafts, we're recording late. Deal with that, but we're here. And to my left, the peanut butter, my jelly, when it comes to podcasts, Emily Curry's here. You might have noticed her with her handy-dandy notebook. And Emily, how are things?
Hi, they're good. I'm excited to talk football with you guys from my epic Emily notebook.
It's very true. And our guest this week, we do not have Ramir, but we do have a person who came along and may or may not have had a very, very controversial, quote-unquote, victory this week. The king is here, Matty Ice. Hello, Matthew.
How's it going, guys? Yeah, happy to be here. Here to talk a little bit about football and talk about my triumphant return to the best co-ed football league in all of New York State.
So here's a question for you right away, Matthew. There are only five teams in D1, and you proceeded to add lots of D1 players to your roster, yet you're still hiding in D2. Can you tell everybody what that's about?
Yeah, I actually signed up for D1 when I registered the team because everybody's got the D1 quote-unquote stigma and stink. Nobody wants to play. Topper gave me the old, well, you know, we should really move up. We should do it together. So I did it. I registered as D1. I added three or four, I would say, D1 caliber players and moved up. And then when the schedule came out, I was in D2. I would also like to point out that I was willing to move up to D1. And we didn't even get out of the first round of the playoffs in D2, where we've had people that have won D2 and don't even want to move up to D1.
Or so, people who were in D2, moved up to D1, and then moved back down.
Yeah, about that.
There's a lot of controversy about that, too.
What, you mean Topper immediately changing his team name and hiding himself in D2, and everybody in the offseason's like, who's Huff Brauhaus Buffalo? No idea.
Great name.
Nobody paid attention to there not being a one Todd too many in the standings at all. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, shit, it's Topper. And he brought Pete, and he brought everybody down. And that's fine. No, it's fine, Topper. Enjoy your Asterix championship.
And when I saw the team, and then all of a sudden I see, like, coming out of the car, I just see this athletic guy rolling up, and I see that it's Pete. And I'm like, oh, I wonder who he's playing with. And then he puts on the the Brewhaus shirt. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then proceeds to catch a bomb, like, the second play of the game. Burns right by everybody. I'm like, oh, God, here we go.
It's good.
It just makes me laugh that, like, I might have said this on the last podcast, but I don't really care. I don't listen to my own work. But Topper complained in the offseason about how there weren't enough D1 teams. And he's one of the teams that left D1. Joey Batts did move up, which is, we'll get into that in a minute. And then he prevented, apparently, A&A from moving up as well. And, I mean, you could have probably thrown another team up there and gotten eight teams in D1. Yeah. But instead, we have five. And
an odd number.
Yeah, and on top of it, that means we have to do crossover games again, where my sad sack team gets to play Eyes Downtown with half of our team missing, and, like, we should have just punted. Like, I don't even know why we went out there. It was terrible, but we'll get into that in a little bit.
Because we play the game.
Yeah, you gotta play the game.
Yeah, you gotta
play the game.
It's all right. It's fun, but like I said, it's great to be back. We are the only actual TSL podcast out there. Just want to make that very, very clear.
This is the official.
As per Topper, this is the official podcast of the league. Don't get any ideas, anybody else out there. It's cool. If you'd like to be on this podcast, though, please just find me, find Emily, find anybody, and just tell them to tell us that you want to be on it. We're looking for, you know, new guests. Since we hadn't done this, you know, during the spring, we're bringing back some quote-unquote old retreads. But it doesn't really matter. We have Maddie. We've had Ramir. We'll have other people on. It'll be a great time. But whatever.
I'll write your name and number down in my notebook, and then I'll text you.
It's very, very good.
I mean, I'm looking forward to coming back whenever I can. I love talking football, and I'm also in contact with Twitter to get the Twitter handle verified for the official TSL podcast.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, we're going to get...
That's brilliant. I didn't even think about that. What a great surprise, man.
I'm already on it. We're going to get a blue check. Everything's going to be fine, and then, you know, I'm sure there'll be a lot of spoof accounts and stuff, but everybody will know where to come for the real facts.
Okay, so with our 10 o'clock games,
boom, right into
I'm
it.
Moving us along.
That's why we do
Okay, we have Gryffindor versus Public Enemy, 28-29, a real nail biter. Bullet Club versus We Back, 34-8. That seems to be a pattern that they only score 8 points. Puckett All-Stars versus Jabronis, 28-41. Buffalo Solar Solutions versus Full Throttle, 30-50. What a weird score. And then Replacements versus Blitzkrieg, 30-42. And that's a D6 game, just clarifying, because a lot of people have had those names.
Yeah, the replacements have been here before. Has there been a Blitzkrieg before?
Yes.
Yes.
Eric really? Kleckler in D2.
Oh, wow, that's crazy. I didn't even think about that.
Yes.
Okay, then.
Okay.
I guess I'll just talk about my game really quickly to knock it out of the way. We back maybe needs to tell their players to show up, because this is the second straight week now that I've heard that they didn't. Like, we showed up to the game. They had no girls, and I think it was 3 guys at the time. Fourth guy showed up. We actually had all 4 girls this week, so we gave them one of our girls, and they ended up getting...
That was nice of you.
Joy from Peachy was there, because they were already sitting there watching the games anyway, so she agreed to play the first half, and I don't know if they should have put themselves in D2, but then again,
no.
I don't even know if we should have put ourselves in D2, so like...
When you're a new team, like, even if you've got athletes, their quarterback has never played this kind of football. And even if you are an incredible athlete, you got to start in, like, D4 or something.
Yeah, I think I haven't seen them yet because I was out week one and then I came back last week. But I've seen their scores, and then I've spoken to, you know, Joe Pryor. Is like, did they, like... Has anybody on their team played in the league?
Sal
before?
And Mark.
Yeah,
oh,
Sal and Mark.
It's Sal and Mark DeJoy.
Sal
okay,
and Mark.
I didn't even know who they're. Well, I play them at 10 o'clock this
you
upcoming
sure do.
Week, and I'm sure they will have every single one of their best players. That's just how it works when anybody comes.
Sal
to,
and Mark.
Yeah, but
that's
I'm sure
it.
they'll turn it on. But I didn't even know if it was like a fresh new team or
nope.
I had a couple veterans.
Nope.
No, I don't know who their girls are
and
at all.
Kayla from Jabronis a while ago with the red hair.
Well, yes. Sal and Mark okay. are good, so I mean they just gotta I guess figure out.
Sal wasn't at this game
and,
either, but I think Sal and Mark were both when played topper the week before and
some feedback though to people, do not be a huddle whore. Do not go into the huddle after your quarterback is called to play and say, I'm going to run this 9 move juke play and then I'm going to do exactly the opposite of what everybody else is doing.
Oh, we call that the Garrett Beeson.
It fucks with your team flow. It does.
I love it. No,
I'm
it's
not
true,
directing
though.
That towards anyone. It's just a general
I was.
Statement.
Specifically, I was. That's
I can
fine.
Specifically say that Garrett is the only player in the history of me quarterbacking that's given me a quadruple move route in the 6-second rush time.
And he pulled it off.
Yeah, I know. And I think we scored. But it was the first, it was a stop, go, stop, post, stop. And we scored a touchdown on it. So it worked.
Now
I do have info about other 10 o'clock games.
Oh, please.
Do you want to keep talking about your
No,
game?
Please. By all means.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So the Jabronis played the Puckett All-Stars, and the Jabronis won 41-28 from a sideline observer named JT.
Yes.
He is not affiliated with the Jabronis. He is just a sideline observer. He said...
Friend of the podcast, JT.
He said, the Jabronis laid the smalalalalala smackdown on the Puckett's candy asses. What are the Jabronis cooking?
Now, really quickly, I just want to point this out to all of our listeners because this is not a visual podcast. I'm looking directly at Emily's notebook, and she actually wrote down all of the la 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 la's for that.
Yeah,
I did.
That's an amazing, and that quote is perfectly JT as well.
So, JT, you might be a future podcast guest, and so I also got a little bit of feedback. Now, again, he did not. Joe Miano, who is the team captain, did not want me to share that because Joe is a nice person. He did not want the Jabronis getting the mean. Vibe about them.
No.
He did not want to be affiliated with that quote. So I'm just putting that out there. They said that their success was their girls, Riley and Holly, getting a lot of touchdowns. So if you don't know, now you know, okay. Use your girls. That's how you win.
Yeah,
I've never heard of that before. I didn't know that's what had to be done.
You run a gender team.
You'd be surprised how many people don't actually
You co-facilitate
think about it,
a gender
like,
team.
Oh, I have all these guys who are super good, so I'll just keep throwing it deep to them, and then all of a sudden you play a team that uses their girls correctly, and sure, for every 6 you score, we're going to get 8. And
exactly.
People still can't figure that out, even in the higher divisions, and it's crazy to think about, but...
Also, Blitzkrieg versus the Replacements. The Replacements were the former Salino Sewer Rats, a.k.a. 5-Star Generals. This
Is it the same exact team, by the way?
No. They broke up. They broke up.
A little bit of their game. They have, like,
the other half,
like a mismatch team.
The other half went to a team in D6 that wears gray, your favorite color.
Graves Bros?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, anyway, the Replacements started with 4 people on the field. And then they started with 4 girls and 2 guys, so they were basically a gender team. They had a new quarterback named Justin Moon, but Peyton was basically referring to the team as Peyton's Ladies. So it was 36-30 with 12 seconds left in the game. Katie threw from midfield for, a throw to like win the game, and it was picked, and that's how the game ended. So multiple people no-showed. This is another lesson. Show up for your fucking games. If you say in your group text, be there.
Or how about you just answer the group text? Just answer. Yeah. It's not that hard. Just
no,
answer
the group text. No, so the replacements had like three people that said, I'm in, and didn't come.
Yeah, but I mean, that's even a step in the right direction for some of the, like, my team doesn't even answer the group text.
True.
Yeah, but the people who didn't answer your group text was like Delano, who showed up anyway.
Yeah, but then the people that answer are like, I'm in, and then they don't show up. It's like, you can't win.
I know. Okay, so that's all I had to
running
say about.
Running a team, by the way, for people who are non-captains, running a team, it's the worst
The
absolute pits of the world. And it's got to be done, but it's like, terrible.
You love your friends and your family who play with you, so you don't want to murder them in cold blood when they bail on you like that. But at the same time, you want to murder them in cold blood because they bail on you.
And you lose so much money.
Oh, you get stabbed.
You lose so much money.
Like, I've lost money every single season.
Every time.
Every single season. And there's been times when we've had like 12 people on Bullet Club and I still have done that. It's just, it sucks. And you're only hurting basically your friends. Yeah. Now, if you join a team with a bunch of people you don't care about, I guess that's different. Yeah. But like, don't be a dick. That's not what we're about.
Real quick on the 10 a.m. game, I did get there a little bit early because I just wanted to be back. I missed week one, wanted to be around my friends and hang out with everybody. And I watched the second half of the Gryffindor game.
Really? Share.
Yeah, and it was a really close game. You know, Gryffindor's got some really good athletes, obviously. Public Enemy, obviously, is who there. But I'd like to just say, like, for those of you that, you know, play in some other leagues and maybe have put in another, like, the TSL is definitely a non-contact league, but it's still a physical league.
LOL.
And, you know, I'm glad that everybody came out of that game, you know, 100% uninjured, because there was a couple collisions that were, and I watched them, completely, you know, incidental. Looking at the quarterback, receiver, and defensive back just collided into each other. A guy's going up for a ball. A girl's running under him to try to get interception. She gets clobbered. You know, and I think it's a little bit of that D1 stigma, like I was saying earlier. Yeah. But in the same breath, none of the plays were dirty. It was just a physical game, and you know, Public Enemy thrives on those. They love grinding out victories like that. But it was good to see Gryffindor hanging in there. Doing well, because I don't like when anybody just, you know, runs through everybody. I like closer games, and I like when they're competitive. It was a good game to watch.
Now for that game, is it true? What I think I read it on one of the 52 articles we have on the website, but did that game come down to the last play? Because I heard Gryffindor scored, and then they went for two to try to win.
And
which
then
is
Joey
the
missed
admirable.
Through the ball, is what I heard.
Yeah, so I don't know. I wasn't in the huddle. I didn't see the play, but I agree with the call. If you're playing Public Enemy and you have a chance, you don't go for the tie. You go for the win.
We did the same thing with Ricky last year.
I didn't, like I said, I didn't see the play. I heard that's what came down to it, and I heard it was, you know, they just missed it. But that's the right call, in my opinion. You don't play for a tie, so.
I also agree the difference between D1, I think, is just more physical play, and it's not people being dirty. It's just athletic people who know how to play aggressive.
Yeah, like Baccio got absolutely destroyed. Like, it sounded like he hit a brick wall, and I think he ran into Osika or Burt, maybe a combination of both or whatever, and, like, he actually popped up and was like, he was like, yeah, like, I'm okay. He was like, it's just football. It's all right. Now,
the guys don't complain about it.
Right. If that happens in D6, you know, the game stops and everybody's trying to, you know, get in each other's face. So it's just a different mindset, I think.
Moving along to 11 o'clock, because this is where my notes start, because this is when I showed up.
How does that when your notes start, but you just had a bunch of notes on 10 o'clock game?
Because I asked people what happened, because I physically wasn't there.
Perfect.
So I got quotes. Okay, so with your 11 o'clock games, Team Topper versus Energy Buff, 49-8. Oh, my God.
can't say the name.
A&A versus Peachy Platoon, 32-28. We're going to put an asterisk next to that one. Ultimate Warriors versus Endgame, 23-29. En Fuego versus Hope and Ruin, 32-20. And Tater Tots versus Zack Attack, 40-18. Matt, talk about your game, because that was the game of the hour.
It was the game of the day.
I mean, honestly, like, you can put an asterisk next to it, but, like, plain and simple, like, I'm a winner and we won, so that's it. Doesn't matter. I have to say, shout out to Peachy Platoon. They moved up. They've been doing the right thing after they've been winning and beating everybody. And they added two really good players in Mo and Dave, which I think helps them out a lot. They're young, they're fast, they're athletic, but I knew, I didn't know who they were. I never really watched them play. I knew I was in for trouble when I got there at 10 and came out with a pitcher of mimosa. to
and
watch
they were
games,
stretching.
And they were stretching and doing speed work. I was like, oh, Jesus, here we go. Motherfuck, I'm not ready for this. But it was a back-and-forth game. They love to go deep. I think
yes.
their quarterback is solid, but he's very impatient. He won't take the 10, 15 yards. Yeah. He'll run around. I have the greatest equalizer in all of the TSL because I have to have her on my team so she can't rush me as Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie had food poisoning. She was sick the night before.
I brought her packets of electrolytes.
Yeah, up until 3 a.m. throwing up. And Dean is probably the best athlete quarterback we had
Hell
in the entire
yeah.
league. And Maggie sacked him
she
twice.
Sacked him. Yep.
She got huge plays for us, pressured him.
She
think,
laid out for one
yeah,
sack
she
that
dove
was
for one
huge.
Of them. But I think they'll grow throughout the season, and I'm looking forward to playing them again. They're just they get a little more patient. They have this one guy on defense who is he's got dreads. He is lightning fast. He can
mm-hmm.
cover the whole field. It broke up a pass from left side of the field, broke all the way across and broke it up.
Mm-hmm.
They're very good, but you know what happens is, and I'll just be honest, is you just don't want to give me the ball with less than a minute left in a timeout. Just that's
yeah.
my favorite time to have it. I'd rather have it in my hands and
well, and Delano
try to win
saved
the
day to put you in a position where
so
you could do that.
What happened was they were up. I don't know by how many.
They
points,
were up by 4 points.
Four, and they had the ball, and we had all three of our timeouts, and they were playing it like it was the first possession of the game, the
mm-hmm.
first possession of the drive. They went deep. You know, then they didn't go to a girl, so it was 2-2, and they were at 4-1 from like the 50-yard line or something. And I thought they might throw a jump ball, so I actually asked Ramir to come out and put Delano in because I thought they might take a shot to throw a jump
yep.
ball up to one of their tall guys. They ran like a reverse flea flicker throw, and it was
like a post or something.
Yeah, and the kid stared the way down. It wasn't their owner or quarterback. Kid stared the way down the whole time, and Delano read it like a book, picked
yep.
it off, and we got the ball back on our 10 with
yep.
a minute 17 left, and we got down to the end, and yeah, it was a controversial call. To be honest with you, I think she caught it. I'll always stand by my player. It is what it is. I mean, but don't give me the opportunity to do that if you don't want to complain. They could have honestly kneaded out and made us use our timeouts, and then he could have ran around for 30 seconds, ran
yeah.
off for 30, and we would have had, I think Jay-Z figured it out because he's the mathematician on the team, figured out that we would have probably had like 32 seconds to try to score from, you know,
right.
our 10-yard line. And but they're very good. I think they're only going to get better. But, you know, just
speaking
just
of Jay-Z,
don't give me the ball with
Jay-Z,
you know,
got Jay-Z got torched on the second play of the game.
First
well,
and
hold
second.
On, hold
yes.
on, hold
first
on.
First and second.
No.
That's the only part of the game I remember because it was right. You guys played on the field right after
they
ours.
They tested him first play.
They tested him first play. They didn't get it. And Jay-Z started talking so much shit. Like, that's all they can do is go deep. They're easy to beat. And me, being me, I immediately yelled to Peachy, who was huddling. I go, hey, Peachy. And they all looked up like a bunch of, like, I don't know, meerkats.
Deer in headlights.
They all looked at me. I go, this guy thinks you guys all you can do is throw deep and you're easy to beat. And then the next play they went right over Jay-Z and scored, and I was like, all right, my work here is
however
done.
He responded then
yes.
with a pick later
he
in
did.
The
Jay-Z actually the couple game I did see a little bit more of the game, and every time I looked at the field Jay-Z was actually making plays.
Yeah,
and he had a really good game.
Yeah,
right,
and
so.
Honestly we got three picks
mm-hmm.
and they only stopped up. We
yeah.
only had we got only I only threw one pick, and then they
because you threw a deep ball to Ramir.
Yeah,
Matt,
wow. That was I thought we could catch him sleeping. I thought we'd catch him sleeping.
Okay. Other notes I had was it seemed like what they do with their girls, because they're short and shifty, is like a lot of whips.
It was
so,
a lot of like under stuff, but they weren't, in my opinion, I told Dave this, and I don't know if they'll listen or not, but like they needed to let him get down the field a little more. He was throwing it to the girls at like 3 or 4 seconds on Maggie's rush, and it was basically like they were getting 2 or 3 steps off the line turning
yeah.
around. I mean, if you get some down the field and you go from getting 2 yards to 6, 7 yards,
yeah.
and their girls are good.
They're fast.
So.
They remind me of Casey, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I also noticed that on, like, 2-point conversions, every time they do, like, a Tim Dove triangle play of high-lowing. So I would recommend, if you notice you're playing against an offense that typically does that, do 4 across with one person racking the back line. It has to be a fast person, though, and then you can kind of cover that a
that's
little bit better.
That's what we did with Delano. He just played middle
yeah.
safety.
Yeah, so that's what I notice.
What else did you notice about Delano, though?
Delano has some thick legs.
Delano
he can wear spandex anyway.
Delano showed up in just spandex and my confidence immediately went down, which rarely happens.
Yep. Who else, you know, another person who showed up in just spandex, person on Peach Leaf Platoon with the red spandex.
The whole
I think
red
that's
digital
Josh.
Camo.
Yeah.
I think that's Josh.
What's going on there? you know, email us, tweet us, whatever. Let us know what's going on with your pants.
It was actually harder to quarterback against him because he was just a floating head, hands, and cleats. I couldn't see his entire body because it was just camouflage. Honestly, it was a floating head and hands. I think I might have thrown my pick to him because I couldn't see him.
He wore his jersey. Mm-hmm. That wasn't camo.
No, dude. Basically, it was like, I'm like a deer. I just couldn't see him.
Something I noticed with your team on defense was it seemed like certain safeties were playing very far back. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they were like pissed or whatever. But then Peachy Platoon was just doing like 20-yard comebacks and like marching down because the safeties weren't adjusting. So maybe it's a conversation to have on your sideline.
But we also felt like that was fine because the closer they got, the worse they are. They are a quick strike team. They can go down the field and beat you deep. But when they got closer against us, they only scored one gender touchdown.
Oh, okay.
And when they got closer with, I think their strength is Dean scrambling around and finding somebody open. Maggie was taking that away, and we were running four flat with Delano Rome in the back line, and he was getting a lot of hands on the balls. Sometimes I think when you get closer, it's harder to score.
I think that's harder.
When you're on the 1 yard line and there's no room to run around, for me at least, it's harder. So I just didn't want to get beat. We got beat over the top four times for just bombs of touchdowns. I was like, I don't care if they just don't go over our head. Just let's make them make a couple of throws and see how it goes. But it was a very good game. I think it's
a lot easier to catch, like, you know, a 20-yard comeback or whatever, like any play like that, because you have more time with the ball in the air. For some people, they don't have that, like, reflex, I think.
And this is just the last thing that I'll mention. I was like, if I was Peachy in that situation, I'm going to take my full 30 every time in between plays. Yeah. If I'm Dean, I'm going to run around every 6 seconds, and then I'm going to make us burn all of our timeouts. We actually, because we got the pick, we got the ball back with a timeout right after the two-minute warning. It was like a minute and 17.
Yeah.
It was. We didn't call any different plays than we would have normally. It was just a normal drive.
We're still learning, honestly. Okay. That's the thing.
Well, Energy Buff versus Team Topper. That was freaking blowout.
Every time I looked over, Pete was doing Pete things. And, I mean, I'm not even trying to, like, shit on Topper, which feels like something I would do here, but he's blown out two teams now. They've scored a combined 16 points against him. I said it earlier, I don't think they should have left D1. I think they should have just kept growing as a team in that division. And I think, for the most part, they're going to get bored with some of this competition. I think they're just significantly better than at least half of D2, no problem. So get used to that.
I'd rather be on a team where we're 500 than blow out every week, because it's not competitive.
In Fuego took on Hope and Ruin. They won by 12. You know, Blaze, I kind of feel like they don't have much left to prove in D5.
I know,
like,
move up.
Like, they were Uganda Warriors last year, and they were very good. They played very well, regardless of all the nonsense.
Yeah, but they didn't win it.
But they couldn't, well, that's just the thing.
They didn't beat any gender teams.
They couldn't beat, like, either of the gender teams, exactly. And that
not
was the only
many
thing,
people can.
Well, that's true. You guys are fucking hard to beat. But, like, that was all they had left, was really to, like, defeat you guys. And I think I read this in one of the articles, too, but, like, why would you just not move up at this point? Just go to D4. D4, which is very weird, by the way. D4, I feel so bad for D4.
La La Land.
It makes no sense.
Dude, I'm
confused
this season. Because
it's just, you know, D4 is the two gender teams, Uncle Rico's, Buffalo Solar Solutions,
Full Throttle,
and then Mountain Doomy, who's a new team that I still don't know anything about. But, like,
I heard they're not good.
They weren't too bad.
I was going to say, I watched a little bit of their game. They looked okay.
They weren't too bad, but, I mean, whatever. So, but the point is, like,
move up.
There's zero reason that Enfuego shouldn't be sitting there. But props to them, because they're all wearing jorts.
I said, you know, for my notebook, why are you wearing jorts? And they said, for team spirit.
Brilliant.
Also, on their team, so what I noticed a lot of, actually, was Enfuego does the same thing every time, where they do a deep ball to a guy, they go out at the one, and then they throw to Doreen for a gender touchdown. So if you're playing against them, make sure you're getting gender touchdowns, whether that's having faith in your girls or whether it's having a girl quarterback, which I think is usually a better move because then people can't double man the girls. The short guy, I think his name is Chris on Hope and Ruin, is a pretty good safety.
Yeah.
He is very quick. He reminds me of Kevin Zach. There was nothing.
It's a good comparison for somebody.
I know. And then Hope and Ruin had like a new blonde girl who had hands.
Really?
I don't know who she was. She was pretty good though. And then, okay, so we had Endgame versus Ultimate Warriors. So Ultimate
game too.
Endgame won 29-23. Joey Battaglia was roughing and put Josh from Ultimate Warriors on blast, saying that he had a major drop for a deep ball.
Really?
That was a game changer. I noticed the endgame quarterback yells a lot at the girls on his team when they drop the ball.
I heard that was
That's the, not a very good way to build up morale. And he threw a lot of picks. So,
see, I heard Ultimate Warriors lost because Scott Pinto's quarterbacking for them. I heard he threw two pretty bad picks, and that's kind of what helped them lose by six there.
So Endgame has that blonde guy who seems pretty good. What I notice about that team is they don't utilize, like, players underneath. Like, people would be open, and the quarterback would see them, and then it's like his eyes were further down, and he wanted something better.
Is Endgame's the quarterback, the guy with, like, gray hair?
Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, okay, Dave's nickname is Bobby Jr. to me, because he's a less talented, lower division Bobby McConnell.
Okay.
He's not, and actually Bobby might be a little bit more positive because Dave does yell a lot, but he's very, like, he's got to know the time, he's got to know the down, he's got to know the distance. They have, like, code words. Like, they say, like, split, banana, why? And, like, the other team, like, knows what's going on, but I'm like, dude, you're in deep,
whatever.
That's
like that guy, like, relax, Frank from Game On with the man bun.
Yeah, Frank's just like that.
P.S., that girl, Jamie, on Endgame with the blonde hair, she got a pick. She's pretty good.
Yeah,
I think she's on Bipolar Express.
She's very good. She did. She filled in.
So good for you.
On.
Does Dave's wife play?
Too? Yeah, Beata.
Yeah, she does
she's
not
got
drop
hands.
A pass.
Does she's
not
got
drop,
hands.
She, if you put it in her vicinity, she reels it in.
Well, you just said he yells at all the girls, so imagine what her home life must be like.
She knows not to drop a pass at all.
So then, our last 11 o'clock game was the Tots versus Zach Attack. Tots won 40-18.
Great jersey.
I feel bad, though, because, like, I know nothing about... There's, like, 47 new D6 teams, and I know nothing about any of them.
So, Tots have great jerseys, and they love the deep ball. So, it really didn't seem like they threw to girls. It was just deep ball to pretty athletic guys. Zach Attack did, like, a hurry-up offense, which kind of worked, but I guess not enough to win a game. And then I wrote, one of their quarterbacks had good awareness. I feel like it was the Tots. He, like, had good spatial awareness and, like... He, like, saw the field really well, which you don't typically see in a first session, like, quarterback.
Good for him.
Just saying.
Class all around.
Moving along.
To the 12 o'clock games.
Thank you. Okay, sorry, so we had in D2, Dilfs versus Slytherin, that end zone. Oh, my gosh. Slytherin won 37-36.
Game was wild.
Then we had A&A versus Energy Buff. A&A won 34-26. We had All We Do Is Quinn versus Puckett All-Stars. Quinn wins 45-14. Practice Squad versus Come From Behind. Practice Squad wins 34-32. And then Bipolar Express plays Wild Oak Beard Company. Bipolar wins 50-8.
Dude, I love that score. I'm so happy for them.
Hell yeah, they deserve a W. They also snagged up like a couple new girls that are pretty good.
I love it.
And a lot of their girls, I think, have been in the league longer, so they were improving. Like, Steph was getting picks and stuff, and it was interesting. I'm glad that they did.
They're coming
well.
Together. Plus, like, I mean, Gordon's coming along as a quarterback too, because he started.
Is he learning
this team
how to be
and
more
started
positive?
Being a quarterback. He's been. I haven't seen the red shirt once this entire season, yet, so.
So Wild Oak did man-to-man defense on a gender team. If you're gonna do that,
bold
you
strategy.
Best. You best have faith in whatever girl you have manning
their girl,
because that means that whatever girl you've deemed to be, like, whatever, you better hope that matchup
works. Yeah, that's
works.
The thing. If
otherwise, you're gonna get got.
It's hard enough to play a gender team, but then you have to try to, like, pinpoint which ones are the one your quote-unquote mm-hmm. best players should be playing. And, you know, Wild Oak's a new team, and I went over and watched some of that game, of course, too, and when I walked over, they seemed very, 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 very frustrated with a lot of, like, the calls the refs were doing. The calls they were looking for were your typical, like, oh, this, you know, because Gordon came in and knocked a ball down and they thought he was, quote unquote, too aggressive. Can you believe somebody would say that about Gordon?
No, dude, he's
but,
one of the most gentle souls I've ever
met. What do you mean?
Jokes aside, though, it wasn't even like a play where you could say Gordon was Gordoning. It was just a typical, like, oh, come on, okay, let us do that. But they must have got called for a flag earlier. But again, you can't play aggressive against the females. That's just what we, you know, go out there to stop, mm-hmm. like, all the time, and we'll always protect the females, you know, as referees. So.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, guys, but, like, it's difficult to play gender teams, especially when you're apparently just learning the how the game's played in the TSL, at least. Like, I don't know if these guys came from somewhere else or if they just decided to pick up the cleats and chuck it.
But I was talking to Blaze, who is actually growing on me. Can't believe I just said
it's
that.
It's happening.
I know, we're friends now.
Like, honestly, I like talking to him.
Low-key MVP.
Blaze is my friend now.
I like shooting the shit with him. He's funny.
Despite Lenny trying to make a rivalry between us.
And I was talking to him, though, and he was reffing the game next to mine when the Angels were playing, and he said it perfect, and it's the truth. It's when you play a gender team, it's a lose-lose. Because when you win, you're supposed to beat them, and when you lose...
You look like a dick.
You look terrible if you complain, because then you look like a dick, and if you take it gracefully, everybody's like, wow, you just got beat by a bunch of girls. But that's not... And coming from somebody who's always been, on a gender team and been doing it for a long time now, that's exactly how it feels.
Yep.
Like when I used to play against Cole and his ladies, and when we played them, I looked at those games as the toughest games of the schedule because they can, it's 8 points every time, 10 points every time.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to go against them, and I think, like Joe said, if you're not used to it in the league, and now you got Gordon, who's been, three seasons now as a quarterback?
Yeah, I think there's a third one.
And, you got Jess McAndrews, you got Steph. I mean, he's got some players. He's got Riley, I think. So he's got some really good players, and they're looks like they're coming together. So I hope they keep rolling because I love to see gender teams do well.
So, Dilfs versus Slytherin.
Dude,
this game was pretty interesting, and Todd Nixon is super funny because
he's my favorite.
Katie Keller it basically went through this girl's hands. She runs down the sideline, jukes out this guy, so it was like a full field touchdown, and Todd goes, write that in your little notebook. I'm
and
like,
did.
I did. I threw it. I threw it right there.
Todd's great.
I thought on defense, the Dilfs leave the middle super open. So to me, if I was a quarterback playing against that, I'd be calling slants all day and just chunking down the field because it just seemed wide open.
Is Newman slinging for?
Yeah.
Slytherin?
So he
threw. They got Gary.
He threw two picks.
Kelsey.
Newman threw two picks.
Wow, threw two picks, and it was still 36-37. It was a shootout.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Let me see. Yeah. And then he told me to say Micah is back and dominating. I don't know who Micah is, but he was an older gentleman. I'll say hello to you next week.
This is where Lenny would go into a huge story about how great Micah is.
Back in 1945 in the TSL heyday.
When we first started and we, annexed ourselves from Mo.
Yeah.
But... No, I've heard stories about Micah being just super fast, super talented, super good.
Now,
so, he fits right in.
He looks kind of like an older Cody Williams.
Oh. Yeah.
That's kind of what he looks like.
Now, refresh me. Who is the quarterback for the Dilfs? Because I know Travis is on there.
His name? What did they say his name was?
Did Johnny Deal throw again?
Yes.
Johnny Deal.
That man.
So, I watched, because when I was playing our game, we played at the same time, but I watched a lot of their games in the field across from us. Very much a pocket passer. The ball's coming out before 6 seconds every time. He was either right on with, a laser beam throw, or it was real high or into the ground. There was, no middle. There was, he didn't put it up for anybody to, make a play. It was either, right to his guys, or he underthrew him or overthrew him by a considerable margin.
Interesting.
But I've never seen him play.
I said this last week. John Deal was actually pretty good at football.
He looked good.
He's in the top 10 list thing.
Good. 4 years ago, it feels like now, we didn't have Jeff for a few games because he was going through marital issues or whatever that drama was, but we needed
way to
a quarterback.
Put him on blast.
I don't care; he doesn't listen. But whatchamacallit? So I remember we needed a quarterback, and Lenny was just like, "Johnny Deal's effing awesome." And I'm like, "All right, I'll talk to Johnny Deal." And Johnny Deal played for us for 2-3 games, and he was effing awesome. He came in and he was just slinging it. We beat up on some just lesser teams. This is back when we were D3 or whatever, but. He's a good guy, so I'm glad he's back in the league. It's really cool.
There was a play that I saw, and Emily was speaking about earlier. He dropped back. He did. I think it was a stop go, and then an under route, and he pumped the under. And it wasn't to Travis. I can't remember who it was, but it was to somebody, and he caught it and ran all the way down to the 1 yard line and was waiting for Val and somebody else to come and catch up. He tried to do a pitch, took the tag. They took two more plays and got a girl touchdown. That is literally how it has to be done. That's how it has to be done. And once again, I love seeing competitive games, so I'm glad and I'm glad Newman's doing well, but I like watching games like that. They're better to watch.
Did Slytherin have to come back in this game too? Or were they ahead for this one?
I thought I heard
they were behind and had to come back on this. So
I wrote Slytherin starts the second half with a pick.
Well, maybe they did have to come
back. Oh, with a pick six right away.
Okay, that's...
No. They were on offense.
Oh, okay.
So I forgot who got it. But, yeah, so I feel like it was back and forth. It's fine. Matt, in your A&A game against Energy Buff, I saw Energy Buff did a quarterback switch, so they kicked the ball guy out, put Andy Schmigera in, which I think is your better option.
Dude, guy
to
can
be frank.
Throw the ball an absolute mile. Mm-hmm. I mean, absolute missile.
He can also jump like 7 feet in the air. We were all playing volleyball once after football, and I'm like, oh my God, you're Air Bud.
So I'll give you the quick breakdown of our game because it was hilarious. Energy Buff took an absolute beating prior to our game.
They did.
And then A&A came off of a very high energy win, no asterisk. And
it was 8-2 at halftime.
I was
though.
Just about to say that at halftime,
8-2?
The whole game is A&A came down from our little victory celebration that we had, and then Energy Buff already didn't have, you know, good self esteem coming into the game, so they threw a touchdown to Amy on like the first drive of the game. Mm-hmm. Angelo picked it off for us, the 2-point
I thought
try.
Tone did.
I'm sorry, Tone picked it off and then took it to the crib. So
I wrote it in my notes.
So we got two on that, and we went in after that. I threw a pick. We got to stop on downs. Then they got to stop on downs. Then we got to stop on downs. And it ended 8-2 at the half. And it was a defensive battle in the first half. And then all of a sudden, both of us turned it on the second half. But I have to mention this play that Andy had. It was unbelievable. He did throw a couple picks. He loves to throw cross body, but he has a very strong arm, as I said.
True.
There was one play he rolled out on. It was the first play from their drive. He rolled out from his five to his left. He's right-handed. His back foot was in the end zone, and he threw it across the field to the right side of the field, across his body on the run, on a line. Tone was, like, trailing the play, and he was, like, thought he was going to have time to break on it and catch up with the ball because it was going to have air. Absolute laser beam from the left corner of the end of his end zone to the right corner of our end zone for a touchdown. It was, like, one of the most impressive throws I've seen
he's
in a very long time. Yeah, he's a great athlete, great, you know, great player. But
who caught that ball?
Actually, I don't know his name. He normally wears a bucket hat. He was wearing,
that kid. I know who you're talking about.
He wasn't wearing his bucket hat, but it's normally that kid. And also, I'd like to say they didn't have Ben Stack. He was away for something. But I think Energy Buff is only going to go as far as their quarterback takes them, and they don't use their girls very well. Amy is super, super good. Nicole is good.
Kate's good.
And they kind of use them 3-4 yards, throw it to them right away.
Yeah.
Let them get down the field. They're fast. They can catch. Yeah. And Amy's tall. Like, throw Amy a couple fades.
Exactly.
Throw it up to her and let her go get it.
That's a
good,
fucking waste of three good
really
girls.
Really good girls.
And, like, Nicole's one of the fastest girls in the league.
But it was, she was rushing me. She sacked me once. It was a good game. I mean, I kind of, no offense, thought we were going to handle them a little bit better than we did. I was glad that we won, but it was a good game.
Quinn versus Puckett All-Stars. I just watched a few brief things in this game. Our girl Kat had a bunch of touchdowns, so she is obviously, people are knowing.
Respect to her. Like,
yeah,
she's pretty good. Pretty darn good now.
And one of the gingers, I don't know what his name is, caught a one-handed touchdown that was sick.
Was it Raw Dog?
No, it wasn't.
No, it was Raw Dog.
No, and it wasn't the one who played Breakfast Club either. It was the other ginger.
Okay.
How many gingers do they have?
Like, 12.
That's disgusting.
They must all be, like,
all we
breeding.
Do is ginge.
Yeah, right? Okay. Moving along to 1 o'clock game. So we have Eyes Downtown versus Bullet Club, 44-0.
That's tough.
My God.
That's tough.
That's really hard.
Try. I kind of pulled my calf the first game, so I sat out.
Please let
see
me
what happens there.
Say all the scores first.
interrupt her.
Yeah, okay. Gryffindor versus the Dilfs won 42-38. Vaspian versus No Punt Intended. No Punt won 32-14. Uncle Rico's versus Maddie's Angels. Maddie's Angels win 64-6. And the last 1 o'clock game, Shattered Dreams versus Zack Attack. Zack Attack won 61-20.
Who is Shattered Dreams?
Okay. I don't know.
Is it a Gold
it's a
Dust
D16.
Reference?
First off, you would think it's a Gold Dust reference, but I'm pretty sure it is a reference to the Johnny H. Jazz song, Shattered Dreams. Mm.
I would have liked it better if it was a Gold Dust reference.
All right, I can talk about Shattered Dreams because they're a bunch of my friends. there are a couple of the guys that used to play on Sweet and Sour when I first came into the league back in the day, when we were in.
You guys were green, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you
guys. So some of my friends, they went and they formed a new team with some other of our friends and were playing in Game On. And they came back to Toppers League, which is awesome, and they're excited for that. But
because our league is more fun.
Yeah, absolutely, but things were not fun for them this week. I know that. Obviously, Zack Attack put up a whole bunch of points against them after Zack Attack lost 40-18. So they do have some kinks to work out, but they're a great bunch of people. They actually hung a couple of them hung out at the bar for a while, which is doing half of it right, I guess. If you're going to lose on the field, like hang out at the bar. But I felt bad because we had to do that just terrible fantasy football draft that gave me so much social anxiety. We'll talk about that.
It was so much fun.
Yeah, it was super fun. But so there are a bunch of people I know. They're really good guys, really good girls. They're a good bunch of people, and they'll figure it out. So I'm glad to have them in the league.
All I have to say with the Maddie's Angels games is, in all fairness, Uncle Rico's did not have their quarterback.
They were depleted.
They did not have Jack Hay, and they did not have their two best guys. So, I mean, we really were playing against a skeleton crew. I will say the Angels set a league record for most quarterback changes in one game because Matt did not quarterback in the second half or play defense. So we had
tired? I was tired of winning.
We benched him. We benched him.
No, I
actually B benched him.
Yeah, B benched me. So what happened was is I actually threw a behind the back no look to Katie Salisbury that like was to the ground and she basically one-handed shoelace caught it. And B wouldn't let me back on the field after
that. No, that's actually fair. Good refereeing. But
so we had four different female quarterbacks and we scored on every drive with one of them at quarterback. We did great with the girls on the field at defense. We had, I think, like 6 picks probably. So watch out. Some girls got some arms.
But shout out to Uncle Rico's because they were actually, and I believe me, we did not try to run up the score.
We did not. We ended 12 minutes early.
The one guy on Uncle Rico's actually, he's super nice. I can't remember his name at the
quarterback.
Moment.
Yeah.
The one with the sunglasses.
Was really nice.
He literally said, he was like, if you want to go out and like try to hang 100 on us, you can. I was like, honestly, dude, like I've already played 2 games. Like I'm good. He was like, no, like we do the same thing. He was like very, he was not like, can you stop playing?
Yeah.
And then they had girls quarterbacking. Like they were trying different stuff. They had a guy on their team that was like 6'6". He started playing quarterback and was like playing pretty good. So for what they had, I think they had fun. Shout out to them. I know Tim was missing and he's a good quarterback in our league. And he's probably going to take them as far as they go. So I look forward to playing them again when they have everybody actually there.
Yeah, hell yeah. No, and we appreciate them playing. Like it was a fun time given the situation.
That's kind of the one thing you think about though during this week. We usually have it in the spring session where like Memorial Day weekend, a lot of teams are missing a lot of players because they're off doing various holiday activities. And this week we had, you know, Labor Day, which because we started earlier was normally not a problem in the fall session, but this time around it was. So I think a lot of these scores could have been screwed up just simply because people just didn't have their full teams this week.
Yeah. I will say also, be careful. Like Topper and Ramir are not kidding with the subbing stuff.
Yeah.
There was a couple teams that were like, oh, we're just going to grab a girl from another team. Be that as it may, if you're shorthanded, use the universal sub list. If you need to know what it looks like, ask me and I'll show it to you. I don't want people getting suspended just because they're not aware. And I don't even know how many people listen to this where that would be relevant. But just be careful because in our game, one of those people wasn't on their team.
Yeah.
So just saying.
I started Ramir off pretty early because one of the girls, like when Joy...
Peachy played for Webeck.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
I let her do it because I wanted to play football. And then Ramir's like, you guys can't do that. I felt bad about it. But like, what else are you going to do, you know?
So the 2 o'clock games then.
Wait, hold on. I want to make another... I didn't see this game, obviously, because we were playing. But I want to say like that... Tough day at the office for the Dilfs because they put up over like 70-plus points in their 2 games.
And didn't win.
And they didn't win one.
That's tough.
Like, that goes to show you, I mean, like, they're definitely good enough to compete. They're scoring almost 40 points a game, but, like, it seems like they're just losing close ones. Like, you know, they lost by 1, and then they lost by freaking 5.
So, well, they've got good players.
Like, in 2 games, they lost it by a total of 6 points. Like, I feel like they might be a team that...
Dark horse.
Yeah, throughout the season gets it together, and I definitely wouldn't want to run into them come the playoffs.
Yeah. Okay, 2 o'clock games. We have All We Do Is Quinn versus Sticky Bandits. I have things to say about
Barn
this
burner.
Game.
Barn burner.
37-39, the Bandits won. No punt intended versus Third Inch Long. No punt won 33-19. Overcompensators versus Hung Buffalo. Overcompensators won 44-27. Shattered Dreams versus the McKenzie Agency. McKenzie Agency won 46-6. I cannot see my phone. And then Graves Brothers versus the Chaps. Graves Brothers won 20-13.
Who is the Graves bro? Speak to me.
So it's the people, some of the people were from Salino, like Gronk and their quarterback, but the quarterback's not quarterbacking. It's this older man who was super cranky. And then that tall guy who used to wear like the mittens playing, those gloves that were so thick.
I remember
and who
those.
Can like jump up. Yeah, oh my God. Yeah, that guy's an athlete.
I don't remember his jumping ability. I remember the mittens.
Okay. So the Sticky Bandits versus All We Do Is Quinn game, like this was a Cinderella story. So Dave, I'm serious. Like Dave Baker was shaken and bacon. Quinn goes man-to-man almost the whole game, and I'm sorry, but that just sets you up for failure because you're going to pick on the mismatch or you're just going to, like, pick people off and whatnot. The winning play of the game, they were on the 10-yard line, and Mike Thomas just throws this ball up in the air. Hail Mary status. The ball was the ball was in the air for probably 7 seconds. Somebody, yes, somebody on Quinn like volleyball smacks it down into the loving arms of Daddy Dave Baker for the win. Right.
That's how they drew it up. Dave was waiting. Like,
he was
playing in the league long enough where he knew
his back was to the quarterback.
Dude, I was gonna say he didn't even go up for that ball. He was looking for the tip. That's a classic veteran move by Daddy Dave.
I heard with this game that Sticky was winning for pretty much, it sounds like, all of it, and then at the end Quinn actually scored to take the lead.
Well, they were getting girl touchdowns to Cat.
Right.
That's how they pulled ahead.
How you do it. And then, so Quinn takes the lead very late, think they have the game won, and then this miracle Baker touchdown happens. There's got to be a name for it. But
shout out to Meg on Sticky. She got her first touchdown.
Ever?
Or not first touchdown, first pick.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Interception.
Oh, okay.
Interception. Alex played on defense with a broken finger. So
he's got a mallet finger.
I know.
Ah, that sounds horrible.
It's
I don't
terrible.
Even know what that is.
I've had it. It's the worst.
What is it?
It's where your tendon, I have it, see how I have this bump here? It's where your tendon rolls back and your finger droops like that and it looks like a mallet. You have to wear a brace that keeps your finger up like this for like 6 to 8 months straight. Every 10 seconds it's off is like having it off for a month.
Woof.
It's terrible.
I got a quote from Mike Thomas for this game.
I love Mike
and
Thomas.
This was
He's
so
a great
cute.
Guy, by the way.
His name actually is Mike the Worm Thomas.
Oh, boy.
And if anybody ever
That's
wants to know why
nickname.
We're referencing this, like,
why don't you just tell us right now?
No, because it's a long story. So
it's our podcast. We can do whatever we want.
No. So right. He said, Dave Baker and Meg are the glue that holds the Sticky Bandits together. For those of you that don't know, the Sticky Bandits are like an establishment that have been around for like 14 years.
It's true.
They started in Game On, and then they came over when I came over with a really shitty Game On team as well. And they've been around a long time.
The only thing I would say is I think you got to throw Kroll in there. That guy.
Kroll is an evil mastermind.
Like, I would say, like, if they're the glue, he's the brain of the operation.
Yes,
he is. The guy. The guy is hilarious.
Kroll is an evil mastermind. He really is. And he's the one who, like, finds their team players and he, like, gets everyone together.
He's absolutely one of the most underrated football minds in the league. And he's just so good at it.
And he runs the Jeff Kroll Football League on Tuesday nights at Narden.
Yeah. Jeff Kroll Football
yes.
League.
Hell yeah. So, yeah. Also at 2 o'clock, so let me see. We had practice squad versus come from behind. Come from behind, where are they? I think they won.
How about practice squad doing very, very well in D5? I think they're undefeated for sure. I don't know if they're 3-0 or 4-0 or whatever it is. They've won all of their games, and they're looking like they're fitting in quite nicely.
Can somebody speak to me about
Jen Statura on that team has fucking hands.
Can somebody speak to me about I've never seen what McKenzie Agency put up 50 points. What happened?
They got a quarterback. That's like the big news.
Yeah,
Ferger's
not slinging anymore.
You know, like Ferger, he was the first one to tell you that if he got to play receiver and they had an actual quarterback, all of TMA's problems would be solved. And I don't know where they found the guy, but it was the guy from the wine tournament that played for their wine tournament team.
I remember him.
Ferger got to play receiver, and they had a great. Yeah, I don't think you remember. Briefly. If you remember, you erased those memories. But so did I. On the
I was about
tournament.
To say, really,
I was a wine tournament champion. But jokes aside, like, yeah, they got a quarterback. I forget his name. I think it's like Ryan or something like that. But he's pretty good. You know, he's a very solid quarterback. He knows what he's doing, and everybody's responding positively with each other, and they're making plays, and they really look like they're on the same page, which has always been TMA's biggest deficit, is that, like, when things go sour, they tend to just, like, point fingers and maybe internally fight a little bit, but the second things are going and they're, like, clicking, everybody's happy, and they're just going nuts, and they're just pounding on teams, and I think you're going to see a lot more of that this
season.
I'm
really happy to see that, because off the field in the entire league, they are my favorite team.
Ferger's the best,
the
man.
McKenzie agency off the field between Drunk Meg, Ferger, Brent. Like,
Val, wherever she is in the house.
Val, Prim, yeah. Prim when he's in a good mood. I really enjoy
Prim is always in a good mood off the field. I don't want to hear it. Prim is a dick on the field. He's great off.
Hanging out with all of them. They are my favorite team off the field. So now it's really great.
Shotgun and beers
them.
With Rich. That's what we're going to do this weekend, Rich. Be ready.
Now I feel like they're pounding on teams on the field. I really like that. So
Ron Weber's going to win D6 MVP this year.
Ron Weber, most
he deserves
love
it.
Him.
Most underrated guy from D3
he's so
down.
Cute.
Yeah, no, he's so much better than people give him credit for, with the exception of me and the dearly departed Leonard Elba at this point.
Yeah.
The Chaps, so I watched a little bit of that game.
Well, you got to support your man.
I know. I show up and he slings like a half field touchdown.
A what a bird.
I know.
I just love Jay.
I do too. He's amazing.
No, but I just think, and they learned a lot from last year.
They did.
And Jay is such a good coach/player that I think the more that they just kind of relax and listen to him a little bit, the farther they'll go. It's when things start to break down and Jay's got to move around a little bit, or the route's not there is when things go wrong for them. But I think they'll just get better with time on that. And I love that they're out there stomping on people.
Well, it kind of seemed too like there was a little bit of a disconnect between like the plays called versus like the routes ran sometimes. So
story of my life.
Yeah. So
plays once in a while.
Yeah, sometimes Matt calls plays. But, I mean, it did seem like their team was, like, flowing pretty well. And they were up when I left, so I don't really know what happened after. But we like the Chaps. They're good peeps.
Okay, let's go. What's up at 3 o'clock?
Our 3 o'clock games. Boom. Okay, so 3 o'clock we had Tight Ends in Motion versus Eyes Downtown. Eyes Downtown won 36-32. Vaspian versus Frodo Swaggins. Frodo won 30-26. Stunts versus Mountain Doomy. Stunts won 49-22. Practice Squad versus Hung Buffalo. Practice Squad won 32-27. Good, because I'm not a big fan of Hung Buffalo.
I'll stop it. But yeah, it is what it is. But again, like I said earlier, good work on Practice Squad for still showing that they definitely belong in D5 and they should be considered serious D5 title contenders. As for the other games, Frodo went out in Frodo. I think they're a very good team.
Baby.
I love that dude. He's sweet. I heard they're not even playing this week, I think, which is a bummer. But they went out. I don't know much about Vaspian. That's Drew's like,
new
team.
Yeah.
Is that where they're from? I don't
They wear blue. They drink. I don't know.
A lot of teams wear blue and drink. That doesn't mean anything to me.
From what I saw, they have to throw the ball to Drew 4 times down the field to get down the field.
Not welcome to my life in Breakfast Club
Mountain,
this past
Mountain Doomy, the new team in D4 that got placed in this slaughterhouse. They got to play one of the gender teams. This is the Stunts' first game since they won the championship over both of you. And
fuck off.
Tough, you know.
They went out to just, you know, show who they were. They won by 27 points or whatever. That's cool.
Okay.
Then you guys played Eyes Downtown. You lost by 4. I mean, I don't know how, since we softened them up for you earlier in the day.
I'm so glad we ignored that.
Eyes Downtown was coming in hot. Like, they had the whole squad. They weren't missing anyone. What I noticed the big difference was Bobby scrambled 2 times. Both times I got a sack. Mike, our quarterback, scrambled most plays.
Okay.
And we lost. There is not like a, there's a correlation there, right? Get the ball out in under 6 seconds. So our team is adjusting to
That's
new.
What I always say.
Whatever. Our team is adjusting to a new quarterback. I think though we have a lot of good athletes. Nick Went got a pick on Eyes Downtown's first drive. So that was a very lovely way to start the game. I think some people just need to keep their hands to themselves during the game when playing and be clean, because Lenny gave you a second chance.
She means you, man.
Yep.
It's just
my show.
It's what we were talking about earlier. I've said this before, I'll say it again. I think the level of athleticism in D2 and D1 is very similar.
Mm-hmm.
I think the intensity of play is 5 notches up, and that's the difference. I'm the type of person, I've said this a million times, that if it's a 50-50 ball and I'm going against, it doesn't matter if it's somebody I'm not friends with or somebody that, if it's Emily, I'm just not going to plow her over. That's just not the type of person I am. It's not how I play them. But in the way I think most people play in D1 is they go for the ball.
They don't care.
And listen, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. It's just not what I do. First off, I don't like getting hit, so I don't like to hit other people because it's not my thing. Too fragile.
And like, I feel like that's only going to get worse because, like, I mean, I joked earlier about, Topper ran out of D1 and didn't put ANA in D1 or whatever. But when you only have 5 teams there, you're going to play each other more and more, which is just going to create
more
like
rivalries,
hostility,
and
rivalry, bad blood, which is cool because rivalries, those are fun
right.
when they're a fun rivalry.
Right.
But when people are going to like go out and be like, oh, this is a person that if I put my elbow into their temple, I'm not going to feel too bad about
right.
it. Then it becomes a problem. And that's why people, that's where D1 gets this stigma that I know we're trying to change the narrative. And for the most part, I don't think it's nearly as bad as it's been in years past.
True.
But like at the same time, there's still going to be like underlying themes of, well, this person I know has been a jerk for so long. So probably still a jerk. So
That's when the eruptions happen. When, especially because it's D1, there's five teams. You play the same people over and over so many times. You get the vibe
it's
of
a
who
recipe
you're playing,
for disaster.
What's going on. And when you keep running into the same guy every other week, every single play down the field, and they keep holding you, eventually somebody's going to snap, mm-hmm. and it's just the way it is. But, you know, I think we have the most competitive co-ed league in, you know,
100%.
Football, it's not even close. I mean, I don't think either of the other leagues could put their D3 teams against our D1 teams against our D3 or D4 teams, and they wouldn't stand a chance.
Hell
interesting
no.
You mentioned that.
It's just a different style of play, but
okay.
I did want to...
You have something to talk about.
Well, no, I just wanted to add with my game. So what we noticed was they were doing the typical D1 thing, chunk it down the field, so it was a lot of slants, which are hard to cover if you're playing man or in zone because you're weaving in between.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like once our quarterback kind of gets the swing of things, I think we will be a good contender in D1 because we have great athletes. We have the best trio of girls in the league.
You're pausing like you want me to be like, yes, Emily, good job.
No,
I was
waiting for an objection.
I just didn't really think about it.
Right?
I'd say my girls are just as good as yours.
I would not.
Oh, okay.
I would not. I love Maggie and Taylor. They're awesome, but you need a third person.
I got Jamie and Shelley.
Jamie's got a broken finger.
And the ghost of Casey.
And when Casey comes back, I got the best girls that the league's ever seen.
Mm.
Why do you even have guys at that point? See ya, Ramir. Casey's back.
As long as her heart doesn't explode on the field,
you have half the angels on your team. You do, but I just think like Lindsay and Katie are really, really good players.
Oh, Jesus.
But so once we get in the swing of things, we have really athletic guys. We've got Derek, who's like a freak. I don't know if anybody watches him play. He is very good.
Super nice, by the way.
Nick Went too. Corey Matthews, like he's
Nick
so
Went always
nice.
Smiling.
Corey's
always
smiling. That's who we look for.
I know. So we have like a solid group. We just kind of need to gel together, and our quarterback needs to get in the swing.
So,
I see us like definitely doing well in D1.
Let me ask you a question then about your team. So last season you had three different quarterbacks.
Four, actually.
Okay, four different quarterbacks.
We had Kyle, Ricky, Alex, and Seth.
This season you've had one so far?
Just one.
Out of all five of them, who would you prefer as the starter?
Seth.
100%.
Yeah. Okay.
Seth
Not
is Bay.
Yeah. Where is
Seth? He put in a team with his work friends in like D5 or D6.
Oh, really?
So he's hanging out down there.
I didn't know that. Which team? We should
I don't
know,
know
these
what
things.
Their
we
name
didn't even
is.
Talk. We talked about every team. We didn't even mention that.
I don't even know. He told me last week they played at 10.
How do you have eight pages of notes and you didn't get that?
Because I didn't see him.
I didn't see him last week either.
Disgusting.
All right. Well, those are our games. So.
But hold on. I did want to go back to Frodo.
All right.
If you haven't had time to go and watch them, you should watch them because
so
they are, I was going to say, they're a team that I would compare to like A&A that goes out there and just has a good time and enjoys
mm-hmm.
themselves. Scott Drow, their quarterback, is absolutely hilarious. They got Garrett, who's super funny. They got great girls, but they're just, they'll get angry and get upset, but they do it in the right way. They're funny. They'll go back and forth with everybody, and they're a good time to watch. They are, they're fun. And Scott played quarterback in a Ray Allen Milwaukee Bucks throwback jersey. There's nothing better when somebody comes to a sporting event wearing a different sporting event's jersey and then plays it. I think that's hilarious.
Mo Saleh does that like every week.
It's
he
hilarious.
Wears like a random football
Nobody cares
jersey.
About Mo.
No, he doesn't play in it, though.
I'm just kidding,
Scott
Mo.
Didn't even wear their actual jersey.
You,
he just
Mo,
wore
sorry.
A basketball penny. He just wore just the jersey the whole game.
I'll wear my track uniform because
he doesn't play defense, so he just walks out there in his Ray Allen like alternate Bucks jersey. Well, his whole team's in black.
So
he was in purple.
The
and
real
he just
question,
played quarterback in the
real
whole game.
Question is, what jersey are you going to wear this week to
Dude,
one up
I'm not.
I'm going to wear my college track uniform.
I got my crop top, so I'm all set. I'm
that's
yeah.
fair
on that.
That's very
okay.
easy. All right, well,
wrapping up to final thoughts.
Yeah, literally, that's where we're at. Should we go final thoughts? Should we call it at the end of the day?
At the end of the day.
All right, Matthew, why don't you give us your end of the day here?
End of the day is, number one, I'm very happy to be back. I'm actually going to give a shout out to myself and somebody else for
He's
once.
Such a dick.
Oh my God.
I want to say it's shout out to Joey, shout out to Gordon, and shout out to me because when you play for a gender team and you play quarterback on all of them, it's basically three games every week and your arm's falling off. It's tough, and when you're like Joey and I and Gordon, you're playing defense and offense every single play. Well, not me last week, but it's a lot harder than people think. And
the three of you are so ripped, though.
Yeah, all of us.
Oh my
god,
you guys are so jacked. It should be okay.
I've heard some people make comments like, "Well, it's super easy to be a girls quarterback when you have the best, you know, the 10 best girls on one team and the 10 best on the other." Like, I challenge anybody else to go out and try to put together a girls team. Even with those girls,
you're also still throwing the ball 60 times in an hour.
Play offense, play defense. Like last week, I heard a comment when we were playing from somebody on the sideline that it's like, well, you could put anybody on the team with Joey or Maddie has, and like you're still going to be successful. And like, I just disagree with that. It's a lot harder. It's a lot harder than people think. And you know, Gordon, myself, Joey, I know Cole in the past, Ramir, everybody knows that it's tough to, you know, run a gender team and be a quarterback for them. But that's my thought at the end of the day. I wish we could get one more gender team, put it together.
I think
just
we
for fun.
Will. Many girls want to be on one.
I think the more gender teams, the better, because I love when girls go out there with one guy and stomp on everybody else and gets them all upset.
Yeah, I live for that shit.
Awesome. All right, Emily, what's your final thought?
My final thought was that I brought my notebook to football, and people kind of took me seriously, which was nice. The reason I did that was because, for those of you who never had a phone call with him, Lenny Alba would be on the phone with you for about an hour if you called
him,
and you never intended it for it to be that long, and it would just happen. And every week when my team was playing a team I didn't know, I would call Lenny and be like, hey, what's going on with this team, blah, blah, blah. And he would give me like the whole lay down, what kind of defense they play, who they have. And
we'll
so I kind of
and knew so everything about everything.
He did. He really did. He was like a walking TSL encyclopedia. And I wanted to kind of bring that a little bit into the podcast. So I decided to educate myself by like walking over to Field 5 a little bit more and taking notes. And so I hope that that's kind of like keeping him with us. Joe, on to you.
I mean, first off, I'll just say real quick, like, thank you for doing significantly more work for this podcast than I'm doing.
Than I've ever done.
If anybody listened to the last hour and 1 second that we've been talking, I've done next to nothing, which is great. But part of it is because, like, and I was going to complain about this earlier, but it's not even really a complaint. It's just that this league is chock full of awesome, friendly people that, like, we talked earlier, like I made that comment about at Jay-Z during the beginning of the ANA Peachy game. And I went to just like bring my stuff to my truck really fast and maybe grab a drink at the bar and go back and watch the rest of the game. The problem is that going from Field 2 to my truck to the bar and back is like a 4-hour adventure because you walk in every 10 steps is somebody new that you haven't talked to in an hour and a half or a week or whatever, or a month sometimes.
The Rose Garden is a black hole.
And you just start, and it
sucks you right in.
But it's not even a bad thing. It's just awesome that like every 10 steps you're like, oh, here's a new person. Well, I'm not going to go tell this person to just like go away. So I'm going to be like, hey, here's a, that's why I always buy a bucket so I can like offer the next person I'm going to talk to for the next 10 minutes.
Or just
a Truly or whatever it is.
P.S.
Okay, don't even start that.
Buy Brent McKenzie a drink this weekend for his birthday.
That's right. It's Brent's birthday. That is pretty awesome. But,
if he whips out money, I'm going to be pissed.
So that's just a little thing. It's just fun because, like, you know, there's family everywhere. But I did really quickly, I'm going to end this, giving props to Topper McGovern because I had the privilege, we'll say, of running the 24-team TSL fantasy football draft. The hardest thing in the world I found was getting 24 semi-drunk to really drunk TSLers in the same spot for an extended period of time to do this.
Two and a half hours.
Yes, but like corralling them all like they were cattle was the hardest part in the world. And just getting 24 players in this league on the same page was fucking bananas. And Topper has to do that with like 600 of us every season. And he's got to deal with schedule requests. And it's like that almost every time, you know. And I can't imagine what that's like. Like, I know that he has, you know, the little like cool unit of like me, Ramir, whoever else he decides to talk to like help out with that. But he deserves more credit than he gets for making this league happen the way it
absolutely
does. And it's really, really awesome. So
So thank Topper when you see him. Be appreciative because we all have so much fucking fun because of him.
Absolutely. And then I'd like to make one more comment. I think it.
You know what final thought means, right?
Yeah, but
Matt wants to give another prop to himself.
No, this just hit me. I'm done complimenting myself for the next like 5 minutes. What
okay,
I was
going
to say, so there's so. Jeez, I haven't heard that name in forever. What I was going to say is actually like, if you are listening to this or you're a part of the league and you're, everybody says the Joe Kays, the Matty Ices, the Emilys, the Joey Bats, like at one point we all just started in the league and mm-hmm. we were just another D6 or D5 player. Like, yep.